Stand and sing it.
Oh, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Oh, let Jesus now, for we are standing in His presence on holy ground. Oh, we are standing on holy ground.
Try this song tonight. It's 107 in your hymn book. G. Some of you know it better than others, and those who do sing really, really loud and help me out. Brother Hoover, I'm guessing you know this. You help me out, brother.
Well, there's a country far beyond the starry sky. Oh, there's a city where there never comes a night. Oh, if we're faithful, shall go there by and by. Oh, it's the city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, it's that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. Oh, here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds and rain until we go to that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going good is the light. There the flowers bloom forever, and the day shall be one eternal day without a night. And our tears shall be forever wiped away. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. Oh, here we have our distance. disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the night. Then let the sunshine pray, let not a shadow can my blissful soul affright, for I know that up in heaven there is room, in that city where the Lamb is the light.
Nathan spoke of it this morning, so I thought we'd sing about that city. Amen. Amen.
Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise. You came to do, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Church, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, some may come to be seen, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, some may come to be seen, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, some may come to be seen, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. hallelujah. Well, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. You love him tonight? Amen. God bless you. Wanted to just testify that my mom sent me a text here a little bit before church, said she's feeling much better after prayer, so praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Amen. I want to continue to remember the prayer requests that we had this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Morse if he'd just make his way to pray over the requests tonight. And then also I want to remember Brother Todd Neighbor, who is not feeling well tonight. And then Brother Daniel and Sister Ashley, I think they're leaving early in the morning on a trip. So I want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to make known by uplifting of the hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Lord bless you.
Let's all pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, for your august presence among us, Lord. You taught us in your word, wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, there you'd be in our midst. We thank you, Father, to know that you're the only God that can answer prayer and do miracles, save souls, and give eternal life. We pray for each one of these spoken requests tonight and each unspoken request, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints here in this area as well as these here tonight, Lord, and other lands, gracious God, that's part of the bride of Jesus Christ that are following, Lord, with convictions true, Lord, and their understanding and love for the message of the hour and the messenger. Father, knowing that we don't worship him, but we worship you, Lord, and he pointed us to you. We thank you for Brother Nathan and the ministers here and each one tonight. Pray that you just bless in this service, get glory out of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Introduced to this message about 30-some years ago, but I truly believe that the longer we serve him, the sweeter he grows. Let's try this chorus tonight.
The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day
$6.96 in your handbook.
The sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day each day.
If this world from you withhold all its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, oh, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, oh, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you. He will lead you safely through. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord. Let's stand. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, oh, he will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. You can take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. And never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, oh, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take.
Greet your neighbor. Shake their hand. Tell them God bless you. Amen. Thank you.
will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there.
Leave it there. Just take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, if you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. One more time together. Oh, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Just take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. Oh, if you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. Musicians was playing this at the end of service this morning and thought you all might enjoy it too. Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. I saw a band of angels coming after me. They were coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Oh, tell all my friends I'm a coming too. Oh, coming for to carry me home. Lord, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, sometimes up and sometimes down, coming for to carry me home. But still my feet are glory bound, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing. Coming for to carry me home. Saw a band of angels coming after me. They were coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Lord, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Oh, tell all my friends I'm coming too, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to be in service together, again together to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And I think Brother Furman had Brother Hoover looking in a songbook a minute ago. So you really accomplished something tonight, brother. Amen. Good to see Sister Angela back with us in service. I know she was in the hospital earlier this week, and good to see her doing better. Good to see each and every one of you out tonight, all the home folks and the visitors. And just want to pick up along the lines that we've been looking at for a while on some Sunday evenings on Supremely Blessed. And we've been going through some of the Beatitudes and looking at them, and I want to pick that up again tonight. As we've been looking at this word beatitude, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means supreme blessedness and exalted happiness. Now, a lot of times when we read these Beatitudes, blessed are you when you're persecuted and things like that, it doesn't really seem like supreme blessedness or exalted happiness, but it just depends on what you're looking at. Because if you're looking for temporal gain and temporal value and things like that, a lot of these Beatitudes don't go along those lines of name it and claim it and just having something great down here on earth. But what it does do is it identifies us with Christ, and I'd rather be identified with him down here and maybe things not go just the way that we'd like it to sometimes than to have everything just go smooth and have no identification with him. So we want to look at St. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 to begin with. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Amen. How many wants to see him? We sing that song, "Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face." The Bible said, "Blessed are they that love his appearing." Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, I just need you to stop our way again tonight, Lord. We feel your presence in the singing, the worship, and Father, Lord, it's not just enough for a man to come out here and to say some words and read some scriptures or quotes. Lord, that would be all right, but it wouldn't accomplish very much. But Lord, if you'll come tonight and if you'll take complete control of every word that's said and everything that's done, Lord, then we can go out of here tonight and say, didn't our hearts burn within us as you talked to us along the way? Not because Nathan Bryant was present or any other man, but because you were present in our midst. Lord, you promised us that wherever two or three were gathered together, that you'd be in our midst, Lord. So we recognize that it's not just about numbers or crowds, but Lord, wherever there's those that are in your name gathered together, whether it be 2 or 2,000, 200, 2 million, whatever it would be, you're not looking at the number, but you're looking at the sincerity of those that are approaching you, Father, and gathering together in your name. Lord, as we gather tonight in your name and no other name, Lord, we just want to give you praise and glory for what you have done. We want to thank you in advance for what you're already doing and what you will do, Lord. Things that maybe we don't even see that you're doing in the background to bless and to help and to encourage, Lord. And maybe there's many tonight that have mountains standing in their way, but maybe they don't even realize it yet. But on the backside of that mountain, little stones have begun to move, and there's already a changing of things in their circumstances, Lord, because you've already started to minister to those needs, maybe without them even realizing it, but yet you're already working on the scene, Father. Lord, we're taught that you work on both ends of the line, Father, so I ask you not just to anoint me up here on the pulpit tonight, but may you anoint those in the audience as well to receive. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. The church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, how can we see God? John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 18, he said, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So we recognize that the body of Christ was a declaration of the Father. Jesus told Philip, he asked him, he said, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us." He said, "Philip, have I been with you this long and you didn't know me?" He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," because he was the outward expression. I believe it was Paul called him the expressed image of who the Father was. When you saw him, you saw the Father. But no man, John goes on to tell us in St. John chapter 4, verse 24, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, he says again that no man hath seen God at any time. Jesus, when he speaks to the woman at the well in St. John chapter 4, verse 24, he says that God is a spirit, And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if the pure in heart are going to see God, we want to look at tonight, how are we going to see him? If no man has seen God at any time, Moses saw him, he looked like the backside of a man, but he didn't really get to see him in the way that we would think to see him. And different ones saw him in different forms. St. Paul saw him as a pillar of fire on the road to Damascus. But if we want to see Jesus tonight, we're not looking for some great something while we're here on earth, because Brother Bram teaches us in the trial in Tampa and different places. He says, we're not looking for somebody to come in the back door with nail prints and nail scars. He said, any hypocrite can imitate that. He said, we're not promised that right now. But he said, what we are promised and what we are looking for is the word made manifest. So when I see Jesus tonight, I don't look around and see him in a physical body standing here in this dimension, nor have I ever been privileged to see the pillar of fire as it was revealed to Brother Branham. And we've had photographs of it. I've seen it in that form, but I haven't seen him in that form with my own eyes yet. But how I do see him is in the attributes that he's expressing through his bride. Amen. Brother Bram said in one place, he said, if you want to see Jesus, he said, we see him in each other. We can see him attributes. I can see him in Brother Hoover and Brother Lee and Brother Morris and Brother Layton, different ones. I can see an attribute of Christ in their life, and we get little glimpses. Now, if you watch me long enough, you'll see me do something. You'll think, oh, that wasn't Christ. When he stubbed his toe over there, when he stepped on a Lego that his kids left out on the carpet, or when he did something, you know, he jumped all around, hit the side of the wall or something, that wasn't Christ. But yet, if you watch long enough, you'll see attributes begin to slip out in the way that we treat one another, the way that we talk to one another, the way that we approach situations. You can find out really quickly if that spirit, that God is a spirit, John said, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You can get around somebody for a while and recognize whether they have the fruits of the Spirit or not, and we begin to see Christ manifested in their life. But I don't believe that's the only way that we'll ever see him, but that's how we're seeing him right now on the earth. Amen. No man has seen God at any time, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 says. He says again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You say, oh my, how I love Jesus, but oh, how I hate my boss. How can you love God who you haven't seen? And you can't even love your brother, you can't love your neighbor, you can't love somebody sitting on the pew beside you or your co-workers or whatever it would be. How can you love God who you haven't even seen when you can't even love the ones that you have seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Brother Bram said this is, not speaking of this specific verse, but he says this is where the real matter lies. He said, you lay aside everything else and get perfect love. Right. Now, we'll get into some things tonight, and I don't get very doctrinal very often, but it just seems like the last few weeks the Lord has just been laying doctrinal thing after doctrinal thing in my lap, so I've just got to speak it as he sends it. But you may disagree with some of the things that are said here tonight, but I hope you can still walk out the door and love me. Amen. Whether you agree or not, I can't make you agree. And if I'm wrong, you pray for me. And if you're wrong, I'll pray for you. But we better love one another. Amen. Amen. There's brothers at other local churches and other churches around the message. If we sat down, we talked about details long enough, eventually we're going to run into something and say, oh, I don't see that exactly the same as you, brother. But if we can't walk away, Brother Bram said, even if we bitterly disagree, if me and Brother Layton was to get on a topic and I was trying to show him from the scriptures and the quotes how I saw it, and he said, well, Brother Nathan, I just don't see it because it also says this over here, and we would just go back and forth. Well, this is just what I see. I can't go off of what Brother Layton sees. He can't go off of something just because I see it and say, well, he's my pastor, I guess that's all right. It better be more than that, for not just for him, but for any of you. Just because I teach something doesn't mean that it's a revelation to you. And even if it sounds right and maybe you agree with it and maybe you can begin to see it in the scriptures, until it becomes a revelation to you, it's just something that I'm teaching you intellectually. But once something down on the inside, you say, oh my goodness, all these years I've wondered about that, and I see it in the scriptures, I see it in the quotes, and it becomes a revelation down on the inside, then it's not something that Nathan Bryant gave you. It's not even something that Brother Branham gave you, but it's something that the Holy Spirit took from the words of a man and quickened to you. Amen. That's what we, that's what one of the reasons why we come to church. We want to learn more about him. We want to draw closer to him. Now, when we get into some of these doctrinal things, you know, there's opinions, there's viewpoints. Many of them have very well-founded places in the scripture and in the message. And a lot of problems I think that we have around the message is terminology. And sometimes a brother will teach something and the terminology that he uses, it'll just rub somebody the wrong way. They'll say, I can't accept that. But then they'll come right around and tell you almost the exact same thing in a little different phraseology. And you say, well, aren't you both saying the same thing? Oh, no, I don't believe what that brother believes. Well, I think you do. I think you're just using two different words. Other times, one brother will bring it so extreme from the natural side and just natural, natural, natural. All he can see is the natural side, and the spiritual side just goes completely over his head. Then another brother brings it over and tries to show, no, it's not just over here. It's the spiritual also. But then sometimes they lean so hard that they forget the natural types of spiritual, and they just leave that lay there. They're not contradicting one another. One's just looking at one side, and one's looking at the other. If you had been standing there in James's presence, and he got up, it would have sounded like he absolutely contradicted St. Paul when St. Paul said, I have faith without works. And James said, well, show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith with my works. And you'd have thought, oh my, they're having a little debate, aren't they? But no, they weren't debating or arguing. One was looking at what God saw and one was looking at what man saw, and they were both teaching the truth. So many times, don't jump too quickly to a conclusion. Take a step back and look at things and see, what is this all about? But the bottom line is, whether right or wrong or indifferent, or whether we agree with the brother, whether he disagrees with us, whatever it would be, this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Amen. I love this sermon title, 1953. Brother Branham titles this sermon, Why I Am a Holy Roller. And he says, now many people says that's against my faith. He says, there's many faiths, but there's only one, the faith. You may have faith in a church. You may have faith in a doctrine. You may have faith in a creed or a person, or you may have faith in some theology or some way of thinking, but there's only one, the faith. That's the faith that was once delivered to the saints. He says again in the same sermon, now I have nothing against any church. Let me say that in the beginning now. Now, whether you're a Methodist or Baptist or whatever you may be, I'm not saying nothing against any church, because there is no certain church. Uh-oh, he's going to get us in trouble already tonight. I believe that Jesus Christ, if he was here this afternoon, would put his endorsement upon that church alone, capital C. Not Church of the Open Door, not Pentecost, not Baptist, not Methodist, capital C, the church, and there's no way to join it. You can't put your name on the book. Your name was either on the book before the foundation of the world or it wasn't. There's only one way you can join this church. That's, you got to be born into it. Amen. That's the church that he would put his endorsement on, he says. Because I believe that the honest in heart is who God would take. The pure in heart shall see God. Now, whether you're a Methodist or Baptist or whatever you are, the pure in heart shall see God. That's what he said. So he's showing us, it's not so much, remember the man, he tells the story of the rancher there, that when the man was standing there and all the cattle were coming through and the ranger was sitting there on the side of his horse by the fence watching all these cattle go through the gate. Now, some of them were Hereford, and some of them were different types of cows. Some of them were different types of brands. One was the Circle K and one was the Double R and whatever, the different types of brands, and they were coming through. But each one of them had to have the blood tag. They had to have a blood tag to show that they were that specific bloodline. And he said the man on the fence wasn't looking at the brand. Oh, this one's from this ranch. Don't let him in. This one's from that ranch over there. He said he was looking at the blood tag. Amen. And Jesus Christ, he doesn't come and look and see, oh my, let's see, Church of the Open Door, sorry. And oh no, this church over there, sorry. No, he comes and he looks at whether the blood is applied or not. Amen. When he came down through Egypt, he didn't even look and see whether they were Israelite or not. He came and saw whether the blood was applied over the door. He didn't come and see whether they, how holy they lived, and whether, how many times they went to church that week, and whether they'd had a good week or a bad week, and whether they could do all the works just right, and whether they could follow a list of ordinances. He came and he looked, and if the blood was applied, he passed by, and if the blood wasn't, then death struck. Amen. It's still the blood tag. And we looked at it this morning. There'll be many that saved. It don't matter whether they're Baptist or Methodist or even Catholic, whatever it would be. If they're living all that they know and they're living in the light, all that they've known, they've accepted Christ in the only way that they seem, God is only going to hold them accountable for what they see. But yet that doesn't make them bride. That doesn't give them the same revelation that you do. That doesn't give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what it does do is it grants them salvation. It grants them eternal life. I'm thankful to be serving a God like that. Many people around the message, even some message preachers, would try to preach it to where everybody but the bride is out. But I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ and his seventh church age messenger didn't teach us that. Amen. They had a little bit more grace than that. That I, oh my, when we get over there, you might see neighbors, you might see co-workers and different ones. How on earth did you make it over here? I knew what kind of life you lived, yes, but I was kind to you and God showed a little bit of grace. Amen. I have no problem with that. Anybody he wants to let in is fine with me. If you think you're going to get over there and see somebody and stomp your foot and say, but God, they said something mean about my aunt, you better watch your attitude if you want to make it over there. Amen. Anybody he would allow, he wants to let Judas in the gates. I don't believe he will, but if he wants to let him in, that's fine by me. That's between him and Judas. Right. Amen. I don't think he'll do it, but anybody he would want to let in would be all right with me. As Brother Jeff, my uncle, said one time, he said, he had people raise hands. He said, who would you want to send to hell if you could? Amen. That always stuck with me. I don't have a spreadsheet of elect and non-elect, so we better treat everybody like they're elect. Amen. You say, oh, but I see the condition they're in. Yeah, I saw the condition some of us was in a few years ago, too. But God, rich in mercy. Questions and answers, number one, 1954. Now, don't say that I'm saying the Baptist people hasn't got salvation. The Methodist people also. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the church and its political power, its politics of politically speaking, because you're Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Catholic has nothing to do with it. I'm talking about God don't even recognize it. And it's in Babylon today, and God's calling out a church out of all them, pulling out the pure in heart, making his church. How beautiful, he said. Amen. God is calling out of all them. He's making a church. God, where did God call you out of? Maybe he called you out of a Methodist church. Maybe he called you out of a Baptist church or a Catholic church or a Pentecostal church. Maybe he called you off of a bar stool or off of an alley somewhere, but God had seed laying out there and he began to call and to choose and to select, pull them from this way and that way, and they were drawn to something because there was a seed down on the inside of them. Oh, I'm thankful to be serving a God like that. He says again, I will restore, saith the Lord, 1954. Out of all those organizations, God takes the pure in heart. Now, he tells us one place, he said, if you're depending on the Catholic Church for your salvation, you're not saved. If you're depending on the Baptist Church, or even if you're depending on Church of the Open Door or any message church, whatever it would be, if you're depending on your pastor, if you're depending on your grandparents, if you're depending on your parents or even the prophet, then there's no salvation in that. But if you're depending on Jesus Christ, then I don't care what your brand or what your background or what your last name is or what church you go to, if you're depending on Jesus Christ and him crucified to the best of your ability and knowledge, then God won't overlook that at the end. He'll say, look, you know, maybe some of us, you know, right now, even in the church on a Sunday morning especially, it's a little hard for me because we got, you know, this going on right here. We got some people that they just came to the message and some people that have been away from the message that just kind of came back around to it. And some people like Brother Layton and Brother Yarbrough that have been in it since before I was even born and have been studying this and listening to this for years and years. And then we got other people that have been in it or are around it, but they never really listened. And then all of a sudden they're getting a spark and a desire and something. And so you got people on all kinds of different levels. So I've just got to preach it the way that God brings it. And sometimes some of you might be sitting there thinking, oh my, ABCs again tonight. I'm so sick of ABCs. And others of you might be thinking, oh my, he's preaching so over my head. Lord, just give me revelation. But God will give us what we have need of. Amen. And so we have to, you know, sometimes you deal with something and all the married people are shouting and all the divorced and single people are saying, well, I didn't hardly get nothing out of that. And then sometimes you preach something else and all the young people are excited and all the married and old people, they say, well, I didn't get hardly nothing out of that. But God has a way of getting the attention of all of his elect. Amen. No matter how tall or how short or how fat or how skinny or how young or how old, he's going to get your attention somehow. I Will Restore, 1955. I believe Jesus has children in all the churches. Don't you believe that? Amen. Jesus looks for the pure in heart. He said the pure in heart shall see God. Questions and Answers, 1962. His coming will be universal. It will not be just coming to Louisville. Now, he's preaching this in Jeffersonville, but Louisville was the bigger general area. So he says his coming will be universal. It will not just be coming to Louisville. I had some friends when I was growing up, their parents believed that if you didn't live in a certain mile radius of Jeffersonville, that you was just lost. I thought, well, I'm glad we weren't taught that by the prophet. That was just their man-made idea. He told us it was going to be a universal revival, rapture rather. He said, it will not be just coming to the Baptist, to the Presbyterian. It'll be the pure in heart shall see God, and the resurrection and gathering shall be from everywhere. Amen. Not just the resurrection, the gathering. God was gathering people right now out of Zimbabwe, out of India, out of Canada, out of Alaska, out of all over the world. He's gathering people, not because that they all were the same caliber, not because they were all the same intellect, not because they all went to the same church, but because he looked down through time and he saw a predestinated seed. I'm so thankful that even many times he'll go out of his way to get one of us. Amen. Remember, there was one time he left the 99 behind and he went out for that one little lost sheep. Amen. There was one church service, Brother Layton was counting, you know, and I think it was a communion service. We had 99. I said, oh my, that won't do. He said, I guess you're going to have to go out and find another one tonight. Maybe we should have done it. Just hold this service. Let me go find somebody. Amen. Oh my. What is it? He's calling a people. When he went down and there was a little prostitute in Samaria, most people wouldn't have gave her a chance. Most people wouldn't have extended grace to her. But he said, I have needs to go by Samaria. I was just listening to Brother Branham the other day. He said he went out of his way. He didn't have to go that way, but he went out of his way for a little prostitute. Why? Because she was a predestinated seed of God. I'm so thankful. I'm sure there's been many times down through life that he had to go way out of his way for me. But he was patient with me and he was gracious. But many times, you know, we thank God that he did that for us. But many times we don't want to be patient and gracious with somebody else. If they don't see it like that, oh my, I guess they're just an old serpent seed. I'm thankful God was more patient with me than that. Amen. The End Time Evangelism, 1962. God's looking for character, not membership, character. Eliezer, when he went to get the bride of Isaac, he sweated it out until he found character. Remember, Abraham put him responsible as God puts us responsible. That's right, we ministers. Hunt my bride. God bless your heart. I ain't looking for members. I'm looking for the pure in heart, see? Somebody that'll believe the word. Amen. Testimony, 1953. But blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Someday, Jesus will come to the earth, and the dead that's dead in him shall rise and come forth with him, and he is the king. We're now candidates and his subjects in his kingdom, and we shall return to the earth someday and be immortals. The pure in heart shall see God. That makes us, when he said, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that makes you a candidate. Amen. Before we was just, maybe we was a rascal out here. Maybe it was somebody that, oh my, maybe they wouldn't have even wanted to let us around church, let alone in heaven. But now the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said, what was it? It was the down payment. It was the earnest that because we've already raised with them spiritually, we'll raise with them naturally. That same body that went down into the ground, it's going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Changed into what? Into a body like his own glorious body. Amen. Amen. Oh, my. There's just something about it. It excites me tonight to know that, you know, we're not like the atheists think when we just go into the ground, we just lay there and rot, and that's all there is to it. And might they say, why don't we go out and live, eat, and drink, and be merry, and everything's just going to be all right? Oh, my, I'm so glad that's not the end of it. Amen. Even if we didn't have a Bible, even if God hadn't sent us a prophet to restore us back to the truth, we should be able to look out here this time of year and recognize, you know what, there's something about it. Job could look out there. He didn't even have a Bible. The oldest book in the Bible that was written was Job. He wrote it. Job, they claim, before Moses even sat down and penned Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, Job sits down and he says, oh, if my words were engraved with an iron pen. And he begins to pour out his heart. And he said, you know, he saw the tree and it would die. The leaves would fall in the fall of the year, death, burial, and resurrection. He'd see those leaves fall. He'd see the little flowers wilt. He'd see the grass die. But then he saw in the springtime, there was something about it that grass and that tree and those plants, he wouldn't have to go out and plant him another tree or go out and plant him more grass or go out and plant him some more flowers. But he looked in that little lily that died last year. Here it rose back up again. He saw the death, burial, and resurrection. He said, but I don't understand. A man dies, and hey, will he live again? His sons can't go to meet him, and he can't come back to them. But then God began to see him a vision of Calvary and of the resurrection, and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. And not only that, but even after my skin worms destroy my body, I shall behold him. Not another, not another, but I shall behold him. Amen. Not some other replanted pot, but I shall see him. I shall behold him. Oh, my, with my own eyes, I shall see him as he is. And Job began to get excited. No doubt it would have excited us. It should have still excited us tonight. Many people, you know, they can go to a ball game and get excited. They can go to a birthday party and get excited. But they come to church and there's nothing about it that excites them. Now, I'm not telling you that you should be kicking over pews and throwing chairs. But I think if we can't raise our hands and give God glory and smile and, oh, my, just if it's not something in us that excites us about the word, then there's something lacking somewhere. When somebody putting an inflated piece of leather through a hoop excites us more than the word of God. Amen. It's still on, right, Brother Hoover? Okay, just making sure. I have to check every once in a while. You say, oh, Brother Nathan's against sports. No, I'm not against sports. I'm against sports becoming your God. Amen. I've never seen a ball or a piece of leather or anything that would send your soul to hell. It's what you do with that ball or what you do with that sport, what you do with it. Oh, my, it's not so much the sport. It's what you do with it. Amen. If it becomes more important to you than God, then I hate to tell you, you've got your priorities greatly mixed up. That's not just sports. We pick on sports a lot because we got a lot of sports fans here, I know, and that's all right. It's okay to be a sports fan as long as you're a Jesus fan a little bit more than the sports. Amen. But it can be anything. It don't have to be sports. It can be hunting. It can be you sisters going out and shopping. If you like to go out and get you a new pair of high-heeled shoes better than you love to get on your knees and worship God, you better go recheck your priorities. It's all right to go out and get you a pair of shoes, but if that excites you more than the preaching of the word, it's time to recheck your priorities. Oh, my. Is that back exit still unlocked? Job began to get excited because he saw the death, burial, and resurrection. He recognized that there was something that man would live again. It gave him a hope of the resurrection, not just that we go and we rot somewhere, that even after those skin worms had destroyed his body, that he would see him as he is. Now, I want to look at a few scriptures tonight. And I know even around the message, there's some debate on this. And I'm not trying to pick sides tonight. I'm just trying to preach what I see. So you pray for me. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 8. We want to know how are we going to see him if the pure in heart shall see God. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. We recognize by revelation, by God sending us a prophet, this is at the end of the tribulation period, right when the battle of Armageddon begins to set in, all the nations come up against Jerusalem. And he says, it'll come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one is in bitterness for his firstborn. Zechariah 13 verse 6. And one shall say unto them, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Well, where did you get these wounds, Lord? The Jews will begin to recognize. Here he comes in battle for Jerusalem, for Israel. In this battle of Armageddon, he comes down and he begins to destroy the other nations that are coming up to attack them. Remember, even Balaam, Brother Bram never called him. It wasn't so much that he was a false prophet. He was a false anointed one. He was really a prophet. He could really speak and foretell. And even the things that he spoke of Israel, we still see them coming to pass today. He said, anybody that blesses Israel will be blessed, and anybody that curses Israel will be cursed. We still see it today being fulfilled. It wasn't that Balaam's prophecy was false. He was anointed, truly anointed, but it was that he sold out for money and popularity. And because he did that, didn't make him a false prophet, made him a false anointed one. Truly anointed, but yet there was something about it. He esteemed the riches and the popularity more than he did just staying in the will of God. What are these wounds in thine hands? Now you remember, I don't have the slide here tonight. I hadn't really thought about it till right before I was coming to church. But if you want to go home and read, I believe it's St. John chapter 20, when the disciples come back and they tell, when the women come from the grave and they begin to tell them how that they saw him, and Mary saw him, and when she did, he was risen, but he hadn't ascended yet. And he said, don't touch me, because he hadn't been in a glorified body yet. And he comes out of the grave, he's standing there. He said, don't touch me or handle me. But then they're sitting there and they're talking about these things, and many of their words seemed as idle words to the people. And as they're sitting there, he comes right through the walls. My, you talk about getting your attention. Amen. If he would have came in the front door or the back door, the risen Lord Jesus, I think it would have got my attention. But when he came right through the wall, Brother Hoover, and he had sped up into a dimension to where they just saw this foot come stepping through, and a leg and a shoulder and an arm and a head, and he steps right through into the building, I believe it would have got my attention. Now, he had Thomas's attention already, no doubt, but Thomas had said, he said, I won't believe until I can take my hand and place it in his side and in the prints in his hands. And he says this, and Jesus walks over to him. He said, Thomas, well, if this is what it takes to believe, you go right ahead. But he said, blessed are they that believed even though they didn't see. That's why I say I'm more blessed than Brother Layton is. Amen. I don't say that to be cruel to him, but he saw the sign of the Son of Man. Amen. But I heard and I still believed. Amen. Revelation of Jesus Christ, 1960. This is at the beginning of the Church Age series. All the tribes who rejected him will mourn him. They'll hide themselves in dens and in rocks and things and say, hide, fall on us, mountains. They rejected at him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And each family in Israel, there will separate themselves. Families will separate one from the other, saying, why did we do it? How did we come to reject him? How? There he stands. There is the God who we've waited for. And there he is with nail prints in his hands. And we did it. Recognizing your day and its message, 1964. As the Bible said, when they receive it and find him with nail scars after the church is taken. 1964, after the seals. And as the Bible said, when they receive it and find him with nail scars after the church is taken, and they say, where did you get these scars? He said, in the house of my friends. And he said they would separate each family and would cry and weep for days, like a family that lost their son, remember that Feast of the Trumpets was to do that, to weep, mourn for the killed, sacrificed, and they rejected it. Here they begin to recognize what happened that day on Calvary. Now, there's many of them that'll say he was a good man, he was a prophet. Even some of the Jews, they'll say, oh, he was a great teacher, he was a great philosopher, he was all these different things. But now, just as Paul was there on the road to Damascus, and a voice spoke and said, Paul, Paul, or Saul, Saul, rather, and a light smote him blind, he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecuted. Now, here this man was, running exactly the opposite direction just as hard as he could, persecuting the church, putting them in prison, standing there holding the coats of those that stoned Stephen, consenting unto Stephen's death. But God gets a hold of this little Jew, and he says, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecuted. Now, the very one that he was persecuting, now he gets a revelation. This was the Messiah. This was the sacrifice. This was the one we were looking for, and we took him, and with wicked hands we crucified him. We took him out here. And now the Jews, after this battle of Armageddon, they're standing there, and they begin to get this revelation. Wait a minute. Where did you get those wounds? Who did this to you, Lord? Got it in the house of my friends. They begin to recognize that he's not just a philosopher. He's not just a good man. He's not just a good teacher or prophet. But they crucified the very Messiah that they claim to be looking for. St. John chapter 19, verse 36. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Now, we looked at that a little bit on Wednesday night. We might pick it up again a little bit this Wednesday night and go a little bit deeper into that. But Brother Branham says that in I Know in 1960, he's referring to what we read in Acts on Wednesday night. He says, this same Jesus that was taken up from the midst of us shall come back just the way he went. We shall see him, even every scar in his hand, every thorn print on his head, we shall see him. Greater than Solomon is here, 1963. It was written in the Bible, rather, can a mother forget her suckling babe? Said she might do that, but I can't forget you. Your names are engraved on the palms of my hand, and they are by nail prints in his hands. Now, we have to reconcile something here, because Brother Branham says over and over and over again, you go back and you listen to the trial sermons in 1964, he said, lying prosecutor, he said, we don't look for nail prints and nail scars. He said, we don't have any promise of that in this age. So are we looking for him, or are we not looking for him? Lying prosecutor, we don't look for a man to come in the back door with nail prints and nail scars. We have no promise of that. No promise of that. Any hypocrite could do that, he said. He got real quiet in here. Any hypocrite could do that. Any hypocrite could pierce his hands and his feet and could come in and say, look, look at this, I'm Jesus. Could grow out a beard and long hair. There's many of them, you know, that they play Jesus in movies, or they play him in plays and things, grow up their beards and their hair to look like him. They could imitate that. I wouldn't want to do it. I wouldn't want to pierce my hands and my feet just so I could be a hypocrite and a deceiver and an antichrist. But there's men that could do it. There's men that are so demon-possessed and want to be kingdom builders and cult leaders and things that they would absolutely go out and do it. We wouldn't be deceived by that, because we're not just looking for nail prints and nail scars. We're looking for the Word made manifest. It wasn't nail prints and nail scars. It wasn't oil in the hand and oil in the face and blood and things like that that caught our attention. It wasn't even so much just the miracles and the signs and wonders, because Oral Roberts and Jack Cohen, many of them were doing similar things like that. But what was it that caught our attention as the bride of Jesus Christ? It wasn't just the signs. It was the voice behind the sign. It wasn't just the voice of a man from Kentucky, a hillbilly, but it was the voice behind the voice. That we recognize it's more than a man. Amen. It's more than a humble Kentuckian with a seventh grade education that can walk out there and say things. I heard him on Future Home on Saturday as I was listening to it. He said, how can I stand there and tell you things about you that I don't know? He said, how can I tell you things that are going to be and prophesy and it be right every time? How can I tell you and I don't know? He said, because it's not me. He said, let this mind that's in Christ be in you. So how can we reconcile this? How can he be pierced? How can they look on him and recognize that he was pierced? How can these scriptures be fulfilled? How could Thomas go and stick his hand in his side and his hands, and then Brother Branham turn around and say, we don't look for nail prints and nail scars? Well, he explains it a little further, and Christ is as identified the same in all ages, 1964. Sometimes Paul Harvey told us you have to hear the rest of the story. If somebody would come on the platform or among us and have scars in his hands and nail prints and thorn prints on his forehead and bleeding now, see, that wouldn't be Christ. Because when he comes, every eye shall see him, every knee shall bow when that body returns to the earth again. You say, I thought he said we weren't promised a nail-scarred body. That's right. As the Gentiles in this age, we aren't promised it. We're never promised this before the rapture. We won't see him until we're changed and we have a body like his own glorious body. But the Jews will see him. At least that's what Brother Branham taught, and that's what the Bible taught. The Jews will see him. They'll say, where did you get these wounds? In the house of my friends. But I'm not going to see that body till I'm changed in a moment, a twinkling of eye, to see him as he is. If he came in the back door tonight, we wouldn't accept it because we have no promise of that. Not while we're still here in this body. Absolutely not. Brother Bam didn't lie to you in the trial of 1964. He told you exactly the truth. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, we're going to have a body like his own glorious body. So my wife asked me something. I don't usually tell her what I'm preaching on, but I shared a little bit with her this afternoon. She said, so will we still have scars? You know, if you had your appendix taken out, or, you know, if you had a crashed into a windshield and had a slice on your face or something like that, will we still have our scars? Absolutely not. Then why will he have scars? As a memorial to remind us what he did for us. I mean, he doesn't have to have scars. In fact, 10,000 years in or one day in or whatever, if he doesn't want them to be there, that's fine with me. Whatever he wants to do, it's his glorious body. He can do with it what he wants to do with it. They can argue about nail prints or not nail prints, and people divide and argue over it, and churches split over it, and brothers separate over it. If he wants to come and reveal himself to me without nail prints, that as long as it's not contrary to the word, I'll accept him. And if he wants to come and show me his nail prints, that's fine. I'll accept it too, as long as it's scriptural. Amen. I wouldn't accept it if he walked in the back door tonight, because we're not promised to see him like that in this body. But whatever he wants to do with that glorious body, if he wants to let it sit there eternally as a memorial and have nail scars and nail prints, that's fine by me. If he wants it to be changed and him not have nail scars and nail prints, that's fine with me too. Amen. It's whatever he wants to do. He's the boss, not me. I don't have it all figured out. He does. He had it all figured out before the foundation of the world. All I know is that he said that the Jews would see him at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. They'd say, where did you get these wounds? You say, well, that's just a spiritual revelation. It may be, but it didn't say that. It may be, that may be. You may have a better revelation than me. It may just be a spiritual revelation that they catch it and say, oh, goodness, we wounded him. We scarred him. We put nails through his hands and his feet. That's all right by me if it's that. I won't separate with you over it. I'm just preaching you what I see tonight by what the prophet said and what the Bible said. Amen. He said back there in 64, he said, when that body comes back to earth, it'll be over. We're not looking for that body to come right now and us still keep going on through time. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like unto him, for we shall see him as he is. I know there's some that teach that he'll just be a pillar of fire, but then you call Brother Branham a liar when he went beyond the curtain of time and he said, I thought we were just going to be a cloud and float around. But he said, when I got over there, he said, I could shake hands with him. I could embrace them. They ran up to me and said, my brother, I could recognize them. He said even one lady, he didn't really recognize her at first because she was 90 years old when he led her to the Lord. But here she was in about a 20-year-old body. The angel said, don't you know who that is? When you led her to the Lord, she was 90 years old. But she was changed. And she had a body like his own glorious body. It doesn't, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Where is he at now? Does he have a physical body? Is it sitting up on a big right hand of God? No, we looked at that last week. It's not God the Father with a big right hand and little bitty Jesus sitting on his hand. Brother Bram said that was the hand of power. He said that he came from pillar of fire and he went back to pillar of fire. So I don't know. There's some quotes that make it look like he's just in pillar of fire and in bride form right now. There's others that look like he has a literal body, physical body in another dimension. I don't know exactly what it is right now, but I know that when we see him, we shall see him as he is, and we'll have a body like his own glorious body. So when I see him, I'm not looking to see him just in pillar of fire form, but I want to walk up and fall down at his feet and worship him for about 1,000,000 years. Amen. And when I get there, I don't think I'll care whether they're pierced or whether they're not pierced. Just let me worship at his feet for 1,000 years. All right. Amen. God bless you tonight. The musicians would come. Oh, my. Many times we argue and debate over terminology, what the molecules of the theophany is going to be in different things. I don't know. I don't have it all figured out, Brother Hoover. Amen. I just believe what he said. I can only take it in the simplicity that it's revealed to me. Maybe tomorrow he'll unveil to me more than I see now, and I'll have to come back and preach a little further. You say, you mean you would do that? Absolutely. Brother Branham did. He was man enough to do it. I think we ought to be. A lot of message preachers won't. They won't back up on something that they said. Oh, no, I couldn't teach that because back in 93 I preached this and that would be contradictory. Well, I'm sorry that you haven't got more revelation since 1993, but thank God I have. There's been times I've had to come around and correct things. There's been times I've preached something in one service and then got home and read a quote and realized, the way I explained that I'm going to confuse the people is a little wrong. Have to come back and say I apologize and correct it. I'm man enough to do it. Amen. However much he wants to unfold, we'll just keep basking in it as he unfolds more and more of it to us. Amen. I love him tonight. I'm glad he didn't just drop it all on us at once, because I don't think we could have handled it, Brother Hoover. I know I couldn't have. If he would have dropped everything that was on me right now as a little boy, there's no way I could have processed it and computed it and known what to do with it. And I would have probably went out and called everybody else a hypocrite and a serpent seed because they didn't see what I saw, because it was just all dropped on me. But because he let me grow a little bit at a time, Brother Bram said, men aren't born men, they're born babies. And because I had to grow a little bit at a time, just like you did, just like Brother Branham did, just like St. Paul did, it gives us a little grace for somebody else. That when they first come to it and we say, oh, you mean you don't see that? Oh, my. Oh, my. Well, maybe you didn't see it 6 months ago, but thank God for revealing more to you. Amen. Amen. Thank God for amazing grace. Amen. However much he wants to unfold, I just hope he keeps unfolding more and more and more to us until we get so full of his word that we just take a body change one day. Say, you know what? I'm closer to over there than I am to here. Let me just step into that other dimension, Lord, like you did Enoch. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm ready tonight. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together. Oh, it won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving. It won't be we'll be going home. Oh, I know it won't be long. No, it won't be very long. Soon we'll be leaving.
says days, any day now, we'll be going home.
Oh, you say, I'm going through all kinds of trials down here, Brother Nathan, but you can count the years as months. Oh, church, you can count the months as weeks. Oh, and count the weeks as days. Any day now, we'll be going home. Oh, this is the part I like tonight. And I know we shall be like him. Oh, I know we shall be like him someday. Oh, we shall be like him. Any day now, we'll be going home. Oh, church, we shall. We'll be going home. Let's stand and sing it tonight. Oh, so you can count the years as months. Oh, count the months as weeks. Oh, you can count the weeks as days. Any day now, we'll be going home.
The more.
can wash away my sin. Oh, nothing but the blood of my Jesus. Oh, what can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of my Jesus. Well, my Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that white as snow. There's no other fount I know. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, nothing can of Jesus. Oh, not of good that I have done. Oh, nothing but the blood of my Jesus.
His blood tonight. Amen. Amen. Brother Layton, why don't you come and dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, singing how grateful we are for the blood and yes, thinking of Brother and Sister Hoover and Cheryl and Felicia and Brenda and I sitting around the house today just talking about your goodness to us. And Lord, there's not a one of us that are worthy, but Father, you came and took our unworthiness and you made us worthy.
Hallelujah.
How grateful we are, Lord, that long before there was anything made, that you had us in your thoughts.
Right.
As a little song we sing, that when you were hanging on the cross, that I was on your mind. Lord, how we love you and how we appreciate it and how we praise you for it. And yet, as we have heard from the scriptures and the prophet and the pastor, that the way that we show that we love you is when we love one another. Lord, may we have that above all things. Whether we agree one with the other, one church to the other, one denomination to the other, may we love one another above all things. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this service, for these sermons you've laid on the pastor's heart, for the questions and the answers, and knowing he's doing the best that he can. And Lord, just asking you to lead and guide him and direct him with all the questions and with the other doctrinal issues. For Lord, as he mentioned, this old man has been around a long time around this message, and we've seen a lot come and go, and a lot of false doctrines, and a lot of, oh Lord, like a fast-burning shooting star shooting across the scene, and then it's gone. But Lord, there's been some that have just stayed steady. Father, if you tarry another 5, 10, 15, 20 years, or whatever it may be, my prayer is that you'll keep our pastor steady. Lord, just let him just keep burning for you. As I heard Brother Branham say, just burn for Jesus Christ. And that's what we each and every one want. Now, Lord, as we leave this place, let us not leave your presence. Let us not keep our thoughts far from you. Keep our mind upon you and our hearts upon you, even though we go to work and or take care of the houses or the children or the husbands or the wives or whatever we've got to do, may our thoughts always come back to you. Now, Lord, as we go, keep us in thy presence and then bring us each one back at the appointed time. We love you and thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you, saints. Let's sing that as we go.
Well, I know it was the blood. Well, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, you died upon the cross. Well, I know it was the blood for me. Well, I know it was the blood. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. Well, I know.